call a pub. And it's just great sitting there talking about God's word and praying together, which we do in the pub, and people looking on thinking, I don't know what they're thinking, but I can guess probably not for now. And I just consider it great. And there's usually half a dozen of us, and we sit together, we've had breakfast together. And it's just great to sit and spend an hour chatting around God's word, these questions that we're doing. And John, we sort of get together and drive out there to the life group, and I've got to know John through that and his story of his journey with God and back to God. And I said, it'd just be great to kick off my preach this morning. Just come and tell us a little bit of that journey. It's somebody who you may not have had chance yet to really talk to. John, come and join me here. And I've just asked John to just take a few minutes. I won't steal your thunder. You tell us a story, John.
Thank you, Mark. It's the first time I've been asked to do... Sorry. Closer? Is that better? Can you tell it's the first time I've been asked to do something like this? I'm just going to try and keep it fairly sort of short and sweet, so... kind of who, what, why. So who am I? What's kind of happened, and why do I think it's happened? So I've only been coming here for a few months. I've met some of you. I haven't met others. Keep it close. I'm Johnston, or John. If you've got a funny first name like Johnson, like I have, it's John T, John O, but yeah, Johnston or John. I became a Christian when I was 9. I was baptized when I was 13, and I actually used to come here many, many years ago with my parents. This place used to be called Emmanuel, God with us, before it became the Life Church. I used to come here. When I was 19, I stopped going to church. My mom died. I've never lost my faith. I've always prayed. I've always felt that connection with God and the Lord. I just couldn't worship, so I just stopped going to church. I'm 49 now. Thanks. Tough crowd. Thank you, Nick. I came back to Life Church back in August of last year. So it's literally been 30 years since I stopped going to church, and I've come back to church. So that's the who, the what. So last summer I broke a vertebrae in the base of my spine, and a few months after that break, I got these like intense pins and needles going through my legs and my arms. And if you've had a bad back, you know, pins and needles is not a good sign, right? So I went to A&E. I didn't need surgery or anything, so I'm really grateful for that. But these pins and needles, they just stayed with me, and I was asking the Lord, you know, what's with these pins and needles? And I'll tell you what the Lord said to me, and it's going to sound a bit negative. It's not, bear with me. So the Lord said, those pins and needles that you feel, that is God's goodbye kiss. I prayed on it. It wasn't that God was leaving me. It was just this like layer of protection I've always had was going to be removed. I've got a great life. I've got a good life. I feel very, very lucky. I've always praised. I've always connected with the God and Lord. But I didn't see that coming. God's goodbye kiss. I mean, whoa. So I thought what I'll do is I'll go back to Emmanuel, Life Church. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to go back. I'm going to say, hiya, I'm still here. I'm still praying, you know. And I figured, you know, I'll maybe just go that once. So the following Sunday, I just find myself out there in the car park. And I say found myself because it was like I was on autopilot and decided to go that Sunday. I didn't even tell Wendy, my partner, that I was going to church that Sunday. I was just there on that car park. It was about 9:30. And I just got battered with these doubts and these demons and doubts. And, you know, I was thinking, it's been 30 years since I've been to church. What if it's all changed? What if I don't like it? I'm going to say a phrase that I thought at the time. If that preacher dude comes out with one of those white collars on and the Vicar of Dibley, this is probably not for me. That's not my God. You know, it's fine for people, but it's not my God. So I was having all these doubts and concerns and worries. But the biggest worry, the single biggest worry was, what if I go in there and I feel nothing? What if I go and feel nothing? What if I, 49 years, nothing. What if I feel nothing? Because it's been 30 years, and you know, we've got, oh, the worship here is amazing, by the way. It's, what a great band. because I haven't been coming to church, what you see at the end of a song, there's always like a slide with the title, the artist, and the date it was written. So all these songs have been written in the year 2000s, whatever. And I haven't been going to church since mid-90s. So all these songs are new to me. Every Sunday, there's a new song I hear, and I download it later on that night. So I'd never heard this song, and this was the first time I'd heard this song for the first time. And the line, the opening line of it is, Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never felt more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He's never let me down. Faithful through generations, why would he fail now? He won't. So, and that was me worried about not feeling anything, right? I'm thinking I'm not. So that song played, and I'll be honest, it floored me. I burst into tears. I was sat there in the back, and I just burst into tears. And they kind of weren't happy or sad tears. They were just this emotion coming out of me. I just felt these waves of power, of love, of majesty, just like washing through me, over me, around me. And man, I just cried. I just cried. And every single line in that song resonated and does resonate with me. So I've been coming back every week since then and spending a fortune on iTunes. So why, the final bit, the why. So for me, you know, why did I come back? Or as I'm starting to think, why was I brought back in? It's two things. So firstly, you know, I said I was praying and all, you know, all that for those 30 years when I wasn't coming to church, and I was. But I look back now, and I don't know if people remember when the internet first came along. You used to have what was called a dial-up modem that you'd plug in. And that would whir away, and eventually you'd be connected to the internet. That was how I was praying back then. It was like I would have to pray for so long or so hard, and sometimes I wouldn't get that connection, and you know, it was really hard. And I feel now I'm like 5G broadband, super fast Wi-Fi. You know, it's just there. It's instant now. When I put my mind to pray or praise, it's instant, and it's almost like it's humming in the background, and anytime I want to reach in and connect, it's there. So, that's been one of the things, is to deepen and strengthen my relationship with God and the Lord. And the second thing, and I'll shut up, I've never felt coming back to church like God going to pass or fail me. It was more like, and this just touches on some of the stuff we've already heard this morning, more like God was measuring what level I was at, or I am at, like almost like a computer game. You know, you play a game long enough, you progress through the levels, and it was like, okay, he's measuring me for what level I'm at, and also like a computer game, you sometimes get bonus things or whatever, and I feel that, you know, he's giving me that 2% extra of courage or strength or whatever it is to do a big thing that I thought was just for me, but it might actually be wider than that now I'm saying it. It's a big thing that I think I'm going to be asked to do, or we're going to be asked to do, or we need to do. And I don't know if it's tomorrow or 10 years' time, but it's going to feel scary and daunting and terrifying, potentially, I don't know. And so God is equipping me right now. I'm actively equipping myself through my praise, my life group. Believe you me, I did not want to get up here today. I wanted to say no, but I'm saying yes to everything when it's God now. Steve emailed me, said, do you want to join a life group and I'll drive? And I was like, I want to say no. I want to say no. And I, you know, because of this experience, I said yes, and Steve asked me to say something today, and I wanted to say no. Boy, did I want to say no. But, you know, I'm doing it. So the thing is about, yeah, it's about kind of, you know, equipping me. I'm being equipped and getting equipped. And Leah last week was talking about powering up. Yeah. I feel that is part of it. This is us powering each other up. This is being powered up by God. This is us actively trying to power up ourselves. And I wasn't going to say this, but I think I am. So I stopped coming to church 30 years ago because my mom died. You could have asked me to preach on any, well, say my words on any particular Sunday. What day is it?
Bless you, John. Wow. Just great, isn't it, what God does with people's journeys. Lord, we just commit John to you. Thank you for his life. Thank you now, Lord, for this re-engaged passion for you. And I just pray this man will become, even in his quietness, a significant man in the kingdom of God in this house. Bless him. Crown him with your goodness, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, John. Thank you. More and more stories like that. Can I move the screen on? Sorry, this doesn't seem to be working, Ryan. We're on M28, and in going to cram this into a short space, but here's a verse as we talk about definition. The definition of discipleship. These are the words of Jesus. Then he called the crowd to him and along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. Just a simple, with a bit of visual aid here this morning, to get a grip on this verse. If we want to be disciples, then clearly we need to get a grip on what Jesus is saying here. And he uses this great phrase that can sound slightly, you know, what is he getting at? But actually it's quite simple and obvious, because he says, whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. So the hint is that you and I are looking to save our lives. What does that mean? What exactly? When we talk about the word salvation, obviously the word save is a part of that. And it means simply rescue. And today, as we sit, whatever joy surrounds your life or whatever tension surrounds your life, there is constantly a challenge to each of us that we need saving. Saving from what? Well, basically, you could put it in a three-letter word, the word sin. And in every way that it manifests itself around us and tries to tangle us in. Whether that's greed that suddenly rises up when a situation emerges. Whether sometimes it's that selfishness that seems to rear its ugly head and we've got the choice whether we go down that route or not. The list goes on. Pride that can so often damage us and cause us to feel at least not great for a period of time. There are more destructive things, lust and so many other things that we could catalogue, that if we look at life and catalogue them all at some point or other, whether in the past or in the future, they're going to come and surround us and try and pull us in. And whatever language we use, Jesus used the word, that's what we need to be saved from. That's what we're looking and saying, I need to save my life from that. Listen to this. Can you put the screen on, Ryan? Listen to this. This is a quote from a guy called Howard Butt. And he wrote a book called The Art of Being a Big Shot. He's a self-made American billionaire businessman. Just hear this. It's my pride that makes me independent of God. It's appealing to me to feel that I am the master of my fate, that I run my own life, call my own shots, go it alone. But that feeling is my basic dishonesty. I can't go it alone. I have to get help from other people, and I can't ultimately rely on myself. I'm dependent on God for my very next breath. It's dishonest of me to pretend that I'm anything but a man, small, weak, and limited. So living independent of God is self-delusion. It's not just a matter of pride being an unfortunate little trait and humility being an attractive little virtue. It's my inner psychological integrity that's at stake. When I am conceited, I am lying to myself about what I am. I am pretending to be God and not a man. My pride is the idolatrous worship of myself. And here he finishes. And that is the national religion of hell. Ooh, strong or what? Hey, a guy who had all the success that life and money and everything that surrounds it brings, and yet recognized in himself that he needed the words of Christ to impact him. Whoever wants to save his life must lose it. What is this losing bit? Jesus is basically saying, let me Steve it for you. We have no power to save ourselves. Yes, we can do things, we can maneuver, we can resist, we can filter whatever, but we have no power ultimately from the effect of sin to save ourselves or others. So, what Jesus is talking about here is summed up in one word, the word surrender. Control, the opposite of that. As Howard reflected here, I can do so much, I have got a grip on my fate, or have I? If every breath is measured by God and given by God, then really that's about as basic of life as you can get. And I'm dependent upon him for that, let alone anything else that surrounds me. I want to steal an illustration, thanks Ryan, from the legend that is Corrie Ten Boom, if you're familiar with that name. The glove, the parable of the glove. You see, these gloves, they cannot point, pick up, grip, hold, etc., etc., etc. However, insert the hand into the glove. And it becomes a part of the action. So now it can point, and it can grip, and it can hold. Jesus said in John chapter 15, when he was talking about fruitful lives, he made this quite dramatic statement. He said, without me, you can do nothing. However, in me, Paul uses the language of in Christ. It's right throughout the New Testament, so much of his writing. However, if the story of God is what he wants to involve us in, and that's part of our discipleship, then our lives get filled with him. Suddenly, it's a weak illustration, but it's a great one. Our lives become part of the action, part of the story. And what couldn't point or grab or grasp before suddenly can. Why? Because it's engaged with something that makes that happen. Psychologists say that surrender is at the heart of all spiritual paths. You know that our minds, they're beautiful, powerful things, and they try to control everything that we come in contact with. Why do they do that? For genuine reasons, because they want to keep us safe and maintain some level of satisfaction and happiness in our lives. Surrender isn't weakness. It's trust and obedience. I've just killed the illustration, haven't I, really? Thanks, Corey. So the emphasis of Jesus in the statement that he's making, if anybody wants to be my disciple, then they've got to take up their cross, follow me, because whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Why will they lose it? Because suddenly it's hidden in all that he is and all that he wants us to be. Let me just give you some verses here if you can read them. And there's masses of them that really overemphasize this idea of surrender, allowing God to take control, allowing God to be the initiative, the driving force, to set the agenda, to be the pace that we run at. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, Paul wrote. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, the glove, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If you're not familiar with Paul, this great apostle, he was a very, very highly qualified guy. He was a caliber above the rest, sat at the feet of Gamaliel, went to the best, was taught by the best, influential guy, and yet he says, the life I live in the flesh, my body, I live by faith. I've surrendered it to him. That's Paul in Galatians. James 4 verse 17, powerful verse. Submit, I'll use the word surrender, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. If there is some sort of issue going on in your life that is an attack sort of mode, then often we do look at part two, B part of that verse. I'm going to resist the devil. Actually, James encourages and he says, yeah, not a problem with that, but you've got to submit to God first. Why not put your hand or let God fill the glove of your life, and then you're working under a power that is not your own, so that when it comes to resisting, you're not just summoning up all the Steve that you can summon. But actually, you're hidden in me, and therefore the power that I have and the authority that I have is yours. Why? Because you're hidden in there. And when he looks at you, he's not seeing you, he's seeing me, and he shudders and scares and runs away. Go on your bike, mate. Leave me alone. Get lost. Submitted to God. Matthew 6:33. Seek first. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. Seek first the kingdom of God. Surrender and all these things will be added to you. What about Psalm 46 verse 10? Great, powerful verse. Be still and know that I am God. In the world in which we live today, if ever there was a call of surrender, that verse is it, isn't it? You know, we live mad, manic, non-stop, you know, belting from here to their lives. That's the way we sort of do it. And the psalmist says, you know, I get all that. We were busy in those days like you are now, even with all the technology that makes it very easy and quick for you. However, just be still. Just pause. And recognize in that pause. Now, remember, you remember this, Manesh? Life group a few years ago, we talked about this. And for a week, little thing you could do here, a little exercise. And we said, this week, we want you to just pause for a moment. And send on your WhatsApp group to the rest of the life group a moment where you're taking in, just for that second, the presence of God in whatever you're doing. I can remember you went to the gym at about silly o'clock one morning and just sent us a photograph and said, just before I go in, I'm thanking God for health. Somebody else sent us a pile of washing, three young kids, and she said, just before I do this washing, I'm pausing here. And I'm saying, thank God for health and strength and family. And others sent other things throughout the day. And it was a real powerful encounter over a few days of people just saying, in the moment, in the business of gym and washing and a day and whatever, 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 I'm just pausing and acknowledging again. Romans 12 verse 1. Therefore, in view of God's mercy, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. People have said it a million times before. The problem with living sacrifices is they still got the power to climb off the altar. Proverbs 3:5. If you've been a Christian a year or two, you know this verse. You put it on cards to people and whatever. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. And it literally means throw. Cast all your cares on him, because he cares for you. We know that sometimes when there are cares, where there are issues, we carry them and we do our best because we're wise, intelligent people, masters of our own fate, so we think. And somewhere down the line then we sort of think, perhaps, you know, God might be interested in being part of this. He was there before the thing even happened. Let me go back to my original verse. He called the crowd along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life, I do, I want to save my life, will lose it. And it's just lost. You know it's there, but it's lost right in the middle of his life and his goodness. Whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it. Let me just finish with this thought, though, and it'd be very appropriate as we go back to worship. If we're talking about surrender, surrender usually is about posture. And in a sad way, we see it on our news most nights now. Because whatever language you speak, whatever nation you come from, whatever the color of your skin, there is one universal posture of surrender. Yeah? Whether that's because somebody's got a gun at my head and I have no options at this moment, or whether some of the situation has called it so that at this moment in time I am surrendering, my posture is, yeah. That's why you'll have seen people lift their hands and sometimes kneel. Because we're singing songs about the incredible greatness, goodness, faithfulness, generosity of God. And our posture is, we surrender. The only thing we've contributed to our salvation is sin. The sin that's made it possible. And so, Lord, I posture myself in surrender to you. I open my hands. I even get on my knees and I say, Lord, come. I put my hand right there, submitted to you, so that your will might be done, your power might run in my life. It's what John told us about a few minutes ago. It's what we walk out into this week with the intention of doing, but make sure the intention is fulfilled. Whether you're at school, whether you're retired, whether you're going to be with family, whatever it is, today we say, Lord, we let you take the role in our lives that you want to take. And if it means losing our life, then I do want to be safe and I want to be saved from whatever might inflict itself upon me. Close your eyes if you would. And just before Paul and the team come back up, I'm just going to invite you to do this. It might be slightly brave for you. It might not be that brave. I find it easy to do it. I'm that sort of person. But I just want you to acknowledge that you're saying, Lord, I get this. I understand what being a disciple of Christ is. And so now I might have wriggled out. I might have moved away. But today, even as a Christian of many years standing, I surrender to you. I want to save my life by losing it in you. If that's you, don't hesitate, just stand where you are. Thank you. Wow. You're allowing the glove of God's love to come and just pull right over you. And although it might be lost in there, you just know. You just know in your heart that this is the way you want to live. Lord, as we worship now, we posture ourselves to surrender to you. Fill our lives. We don't want to be lifeless. We want to be full of that love and that grace and that power that comes from knowing you. That the world around us might truly see Jesus. Let's worship, and I invite you to posture yourself. Whether you open your hands, whatever you're comfortable with, but whatever you're doing, you're saying, God, I surrender to you. I might not be able to point, grasp, hold, but with you, I become part of the story. Fill me now.